Just want to talk to you a little bit about the voice of your expectation. We're still in the series, Don't Bow Down. Because God, when God told me that he wanted me to focus on living as true believers, I didn't understand it, but I don't have to. I just have to do it. Well, he knew that this attack was going to come. He knew that. And he knew what he was going to do about it. He knew that. And he knew that in order for his plan to come into fruition, his children would have to act like they are his children. So when I say living as true believers, it's not to offend anyone. But the Apostle Paul told the church in Thessalonica, every believer is not a believer. Amen. You know what he's saying is, everybody, well, I'll say it this way. Every believer has faith. Because if they didn't have faith, they wouldn't be a believer. Okay. But every believer doesn't understand the fullness of their faith. So you may have someone who has confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior, and they haven't been trained. They don't understand what it means. So yes, their salvation's intact, but they're going to go through some stuff because they don't understand their authority. God wants us to understand our authority. Because as the word came forth, we're not just examples for this community, but the whole state, the whole region. They're looking at what we're doing, especially since the numbers, you know, went from a couple of thousand, you know, to a few hundred. They're wondering, you know, can this church still be relevant? Yes. It's not still can, is are, is, whatever the right prep is. In 1 John, well, okay, 1 Peter 2, 13 to 16 in the Passion Translation. So in order to honor the Lord, you must respect and defer to the authority of every human institution, whether it be the highest ruler or the governors he puts in place to punish lawbreakers and to praise those who do what's right. Verse 15. For it is God's will for you to silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing what is right. By doing what is right. It says, as God's loving servants, you should live in complete freedom, but never use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Amen. Recognize the value of every person and continually show love to every believer. Amen. Notice it didn't say continually show love to every person. That doesn't mean you say, great, I don't have to love people. No. What he's doing is letting you know, a new commandment I give you, love one another. Because when you love one another the same way I have loved you, then everyone will know that you're my disciple. So he wants the world to see us loving one another. Because if we can't love one another, then how are we going to love them? Amen. Okay. So he says, recognize the value of every person and continually show love to every believer. Live your lives with great reverence and in holy awe of God. Honor your rulers. Honor them. Doesn't say talk about them. Honor them. That's what he gave me. Now, Jesus said, and I alluded to this before, in 1 John 3, in the Passion Translation, verses 7 to 9. says, delightfully loved children, don't let anyone divert you from this truth. The person who keeps doing what is right proves that he is righteous before God, even as the Messiah is righteous. But the one who indulges in a sinful life is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. But here's the point. The reason the Son of God was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. So God knew that the devil was going to unleash some stuff. So he manifested, he let Jesus be manifested, he let Jesus be revealed so that Jesus could undo and then destroy the works of the devil. Both. First it's undone. Everything is made right. Then whatever those entities were that made the right wrong, he destroys. So he separates the good from the bad and then destroys the bad. Why does he do that? So it can't harm the good anymore. I mean, I had to learn how to do that from a Christian perspective, because I knew how to do it from a natural perspective. In Romans 8, because that was Jesus, and we need to understand that we're the ones who were put here to be in control of this earth. That's right. We're the ones, okay? So we have to have some juice. Otherwise, how are we going to do it? In Romans 8, read verses 18 and 23. This is the New King James Version. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." All of creation is waiting for us to be revealed as the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into a glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the spirits, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. So the world is waiting for the Christians to be revealed, because they know that when the Christians are revealed, all this suffering stuff and nonsense is going to go away. Just like Jesus was revealed to undo and destroy, so are we. We've been given the same power. We've been given the same authority. So if Jesus did it, we can do it also. It's really that simple. With it, the same way Jesus was revealed is how we're revealed. We're to be seen as the children of God. We'll go to Malachi 3:8 quickly. Malachi 3. The Message Bible says, once more, you'll see the difference it makes between being a person who does the right thing and one who doesn't, between serving God and not serving God. So God is saying there should be you should be able to see a difference between those folks that serve God and those folks that don't. Amen. Amen. There's a difference. There should be a clear difference. It's not like looking for Waldo in that little thing there. You know, it's a clear. If we were in Where's Waldo, we'd all be in bright red and everybody else would be black and yellow. So we could stand out and they'd know right away, these folks over here are different than these guys over there. These folks over here have a relationship with God, and they get things done. So I'm turning in my stripes to be covered by the blood, because being covered by the blood is where it's at. And we have to stop being ashamed of that. Stop covering it up. I'm just going to give you four reasons why that's so. I'll give you four reasons to understand that we can, and we've been given the power, we've been given the authority to undo all that the devil's done. We've been given authority to control what goes on here on planet Earth. We've been, tell your neighbor, you've been given that authority. Okay, let's start in the beginning. Genesis 1, Message Bible, verse 26, 28. I know we all know it. God spoke, "Let's make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself." And yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of the earth. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. Take charge was a command and a blessing to God's creation, mankind. Take charge. Be responsible for fish in the sea, birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. Every living thing. COVID 199, a living thing. Yes. Is it moving across the earth? Yes. Who has control over it?
We do.
We do. For the devil forgot, it falls into the category. It's not a dead thing moving across the earth. It's a living thing. Are there people that move across the earth? We're responsible for them. They're people. They're moving across the face of the earth. They're in our realm of authority. Matthew 17. Verses 19 to 20. Message Bible. When the disciples had Jesus off to themselves, they asked, "Why couldn't we throw it out?" Talking about the demon that was in that little boy. "Because you're not yet taking God seriously," said Jesus. The simple truth, this isn't complicated. The simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say, you would not ask, you would tell this mountain, "Move," and it would move. What does it say after that? There is nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. There's nothing you wouldn't be able to bring down. There is nothing that can overpower you. And then one of my favorites, Luke 10:19. I say this is about every time I'm in front of you. Jesus said, "Behold, I have given you authority and power." I've given you authority and power. That means if it doesn't listen to the authority, it's going to have to yield to the power. That's what it means. When your parents said, "Clean your room," they were speaking from a place of authority. You didn't clean your room. They opened the door with a belt. You saw the power. What'd you do? You cleaned your room. We've been given authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. And nothing shall in any way harm you. And it's important to understand, it says all the power that the enemy possesses. That means everything he possesses right now, and anything, as the three Hebrew boys said in the Message Bible, and anything else he can cook up. Okay? Whatever he comes up with falls under the category of all the power he possesses. We've been given physical and mental strength and ability over that. We have. And then we have Matthew 16. There's so many more, but these are the four he gave me, so these are the four I'm sharing. Jesus said, "Now I say unto you that you are Peter." This is the New Living Translation. I apologize. Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Whatever we permit will be permitted. Whatever we forbid will be forbidden. I, as Pastor Ed, one of his terms, for funsies, I looked at it in the Passion Translation, just verse 19. It said it a little differently and made me think about it a little differently. He said, "I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm," listen to this, "to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven." I've been given the keys of the heavenly kingdom, so whatever is forbidden to happen in heaven, I can forbid it to happen in earth. There is no virus outbreak in heaven.
That's right. That's right.
There is none.
That's right.
So if it's forbidden to happen in heaven, I've been empowered as a child of God to forbid it from happening here.
Yes.
But we have to know that.
Yes.
It says, "And to release on earth that which is released in heaven." What's released in heaven? Health. Praise.
Yes.
Worship.
Peace.
Peace. Love. All of this has been released in heaven. And we've been given the authority to release it here on the earth. But we have to be true believers in order to do that. We have to start taking God seriously. We can't be playing around about this stuff. Can't be, "I like you today, but I don't like you tomorrow. I'm a Christian today, and tomorrow God will have to just forgive me." No, see, here's the thing. It's not that God won't forgive you. You don't know when the enemy is going to attack. Now, do you want to be attacked when you are in full armor? Or do you want to be attacked when you're caught stark naked of your armor? When we don't do what God says, we have to take off our armor in order to do it. We can't just go out and do wrong fully dressed as a child of God. We have to take some things off. So let me put my breastplate of righteousness over here for a few hours. You know, I'll come back to it. What's going to happen on your way to and from? You don't know. You don't know. In Pastor Clinton's book, Expect Him To, he wrote, "The word expect suggests that a person has sufficient reason to believe that some action is going to take place. Our expectations are often based on a promise, an act, or even a written document. Expectations are also rooted in experience, whether we are expecting to achieve certain goals, expecting others to respond to us in a particular manner, or expecting to take our next breath. Being in a state of expectancy can become and should really become second nature. Although we may not recognize it as such, faith is deeply embedded in our expectations. I started thinking about that. And I realized that for me, because I can only speak for me, my expectations determine what I'm going to say in any given situation. Amen. If I think it's going to happen, guess what? I'm going to say it's going to happen. And when I say it's going to happen, guess what? It happens because I shall have whatsoever I say. So when you think about that, what you expect God to do with what God said becomes very important. Because if you don't expect that the word to work for you when you speak it, guess what? It's not going to work for you. Because you're going to confess that with your mouth. So when you think about it, your expectation is like your life force. Because it comes up out of your heart. And that's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs, guard your heart. To keep your heart with all diligence. That means no matter what else you're protecting, protect your heart above all of that. Because out of your heart will flow the issues of life. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. Doesn't say out of the abundance of your intellect. Doesn't say out of the abundance of your feelings. Your feelings are really a reflection of what's in your heart. And out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. Out of the abundance of your expectations, your mouth will utter words. And they can either be words of faith or words of something else. It's all based on what you expect. So when you look at it in those terms, your voice, the words, your mouth, it's the voice of your expectations. When you're speaking things, you're letting everybody know what you expect. And whether it's godly or ungodly, because you say it and you believe it, you're going to have it. You're going to have it. Pastor Clinton, in the book, he also shared that an expectation is based on a promise or an experience or knowledge. And so you have to ask yourself, what are your experiences with God? You have to ask yourself, on what have you been meditating? This person just gets on my last nerve. Always does that. Sick of it. I'm just sick of it. Next thing you know, you have an ice pack on your head and a thermometer in your mouth. And you're like, God, I don't know what happened. You said you were sick. You had what you say. I wish they were out of my life. What's funny is often you say that and you're the one that gets moved. Okay, I'm going to cut up. That's like this little joke I heard about this lady that found this odd, nice-looking vase, I don't know what's, and she rubbed it and the genie came out. And he said, what would you like? She said, I'd like $1 million. Poof, she had it. Husband grabbed it. Jenkins, what'd you like? I'd like a wife that's 50 years younger. Poof, he was 90. So, What have you been meditating on? To what or to whom have you been listening? What do we really believe? That's what it boils down to. We had a good hootenanny time up in here in praise, and Kurt, you know, we're worshiping, and we're cursing the virus, and we're doing all those things. Was that just a show, or do we really believe it? Don't answer me. You have to answer you. You know. And the very important questions, they are, because the answers will form your expectations. And the expectations will form our confession, and our confession will determine our outcome. That's the way it works. You expect, you speak, you have. If you expect, oh, she'll never change, he'll never change, you just condemn them and you. It's the voice of our expectation. It's our life force. I like Mark 11:23, but I really love reading it in the Ben Campbell Johnson translation. Truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes. And I got to pause. It's not in notes, but I got to pause there. Especially during these times, we're speaking about this viral attack. You speak words of faith, and then a report comes immediately. You hear a report that there's 652 new cases just were reported. And you're like, oh, but I just prayed about it. Don't let that change your expectations. The enemy has history in amping it up after a believer makes a bold confession. He has a history of it. I like the account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love those guys. They made a bold statement. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, King said, I'm going to give you another shot. I'm going to have them play the music. You're going to bow down. Everything's going to be fine. But if you don't bow down, you will be thrown into the midst of the fiery furnace. And who is the God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? That's what he said to teenagers. They said, King, we don't even have to think about this. The God we serve, he will deliver us from your fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, we're still not bowing down. Now, modern day believers making that statement expect that they'll look at the furnace and it'll just collapse. And just stand there. Now, what are you going to do, King? No, the furnace got 7 times hotter. Immediately. We're not going to bow down. Oh, yeah? Their expectations never changed. So because their expectations never changed, their confession never changed, and the outcome never changed. So the enemy is going to come up with stuff because he wants you to change your expectation, because it will change the words coming out of your mouth, and it'll change the results. Not because he's so powerful, because we spoke it into existence. By not believing what God said and not expecting that what God said is what will happen. And that's the place we need to get to as true believers. You can't get to that place if you're not a true believer. Because you won't keep believing. You'll be all over the place. You'll become separated from the statements that you make. Like when we were a kid and someone said something you didn't like, you say, you take that back. And if they didn't take it back, there was a fight and somebody was going to take something back. Well, that's the attitude we need to have with the devil. Somebody's going to take something back. And it ain't going to be me. So whatever you brought with you, you're going to have to drag it back to hell where it came from. It is okay to tell the devil to go to hell. You're telling him to go home. Okay. The verse continues, truly anyone who speaks of that mountain yonder saying, go dump yourself in the lake. Oh, I just read this. And does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. That means you will see it happening. I want to get to this, and then I'm going to quit. Peter and John were at, you know, they were going by the gate beautiful, and they saw this beggar. And the Bible says it was a certain man lame from his mother's womb, and he was carried daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. He was a beggar. He was asking for money. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them. That means the man looked at them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by his right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Why did he stop and address the man? He had information. He had knowledge. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs shall follow them that believe. You lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover, was one of those signs. So Peter sees this man. And remember, Jesus said, I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So he had an expectation. This man wants money, but I can give him what he really needs because of what Jesus said. Look at us. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then he didn't wait for the man to gather himself together. He took his arm and pulled him up. And the man started walking. The thought never came. He didn't say, okay, John, position yourself behind him in case he falls, you know, because he may need a little time to get. Oh, no. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he picks him up. And the man goes walking into the temple. He didn't go running to the store. As Pat Sarah said, he didn't go shopping. He went into the temple to worship the Lord. Why did Peter do that? Peter had an expectation. And he spoke what he expected. And because he spoke what he expected, and he didn't back away from what he said, he actualized his statement. That means he saw it. It happened. The man was healed. And the man walked. Folks, this is a very, very simple equation. God said it. You believe it. Expect it to happen. Then speak out your expectation. And then enjoy the results. Because the voice of your expectation is what will give voice to your confession. Your confession is the voice of your expectation. Say, my confession is the voice of my expectation. And make sure, I'm going to say this again because it's important. Make sure, make your calling and election sure. That means make sure you are confident in who you are in Christ. Because you have to be in a position where no matter how things look, your expectation does not change. Doesn't matter what it looks like. It does not matter. Well, how many of you know the saying, looks are deceiving? They are. I could bring in examples and examples of optical illusions where it looks like one thing and it's something else. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. So when you make your bold declarations and things look like they're getting worse, don't change what you're saying. Don't back away. Don't take those words back. And you don't even have to get demonstrative. You have to say, I said, no. Doesn't say that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego threw a fit. Doesn't say that when Jesus called out that demon and the demon threw a fit and had the boy going all over the place, Jesus didn't say that. And I said, he didn't do anything. When he finished, when the devil finished putting on his show, Jesus reached out and picked the boy up and they went on about their business. He wasn't moved by the display. We have to stop being moved by the displays. Stop. Displays are designed to catch your eye and cause you to look at it. And the longer you look at it, the more you start reprogramming your expectations. Not realize, marketers know what they're doing. That's why they keep sending. Before that, you know, if you thought about auto insurance, everything was Geico. Yeah. Now you hear Limu Emu. It gives you other choices. There is no other choice. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Let your expectations always be on him and what he said. I'm done. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and every bit of the praise that we have. Thank you, Lord, for visiting with us this morning into this afternoon. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. Thank you, Lord, that the confidence we have is that we know we've asked things according to your will. And because we've done that, we know you heard us. And because we know you heard us, we know that we have the answers to those things in which we've asked. And we thank you for it, Lord. We expect. Yes. We expect that virus to die. Yes. We expect the people to recover. We expect the economy to recover. Yes. We expect all the nations of the world to come together and work as one unit in this fight. And they'll see the value of working as one unit to maintain what we have regained. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. See, the voice of my confession is my expectation. Now, that being said,